Psalm number 91 is where we're singing this morning. Psalm 91. And we sing from verse 1 to 6. I'm sure you've noticed, you can't help noticing, that more recently I've been dealing with one psalm rather than taking verses from various psalms. I think there's a great advantage in concentrating on one psalm, and God willing, we shall continue to do that. And also, we're limiting the number of singings to three instead of four in the interests of this COVID precaution that's being pressed upon us. So there are these slight adjustments to the times. Psalm number 91, verses 1 to 6. Let us pray together. Eternal God, as we sing the Psalms, we are glad to be in the presence of those who wrote those Psalms so many years ago, and to be uttering the words that express their own experience, and to share in the joy and the confidence that they were experiencing when they penned such words as we have been singing this morning in Psalm 91. It is, Lord, a psalm full of assurance, full of confidence, personal assurance, recognizing that in the Lord's arms there is security, that in the Lord's words there are so many promises of good things to come. And this sense of well-being, O God, that impelled the psalmist to write, we pray that we would experience it and to receive that word to ourselves. We rejoice, O God, this morning that those who dwell in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty have nothing to fear in this world or in the world to come. And even though the world around us collapses in disarray, yet we have the assurance that God's arms are never taken away, never lose their power, and that the good Lord never uses his arms to destroy, but only to redeem and secure his people. And so this morning we are reminded of these ancient Hebrew scriptures, and in these scriptures we find the same writings that encouraged our Lord Jesus Christ when he lived his life upon earth, and when as a man he grew in grace and in knowledge and in the favor with God and men, he grew as others, growing in stature, a real man developing as a man, using the same necessary food and drink as other men, and the means of grace, the scriptures, the attendance upon the synagogue worship, brought up in the godly home of Joseph and Mary, and in that great culture of God's people. And so we pray that we would rejoice this morning that in the midst of a world that cares little for these things and cares little even more for the things of Christ particularly, yet we are gathered here in his presence according to his promise to receive his blessing of mercy for sins and grace for times of need. And how many our sins are, how many our needs are, O Lord, we can hardly number them because we are blind so often to the depths and the realities of the spiritual world. Help us to remember to pray always, giving thanks, giving adoration to God, making intercession for others, not only for ourselves and our loved ones, but for those whom we love sometimes far away from us, and even those whom we do not love and do not love us. We pray for them. We remember especially those of thy people who are in distress at this time. We remember our friend in Melbourne, the family there concerned over their young, lovely child in such a distressing situation. Lord, we cannot even begin to enter in to the depths of their sorrows, but we pray for them now. And we pray for all such. We pray for those who care for the sick. We pray for those who abuse the sick. We pray for those who are sick in these days. We are reminded constantly that life is uncertain, that life is brief, and there is only one life in this uncertain world. No second chances, no revisitation, no undoing the past, no possibility of evading the future. Whether heaven or hell, Lord, it awaits us sooner than we think. So help us this morning to raise our voices in glad adoration in the words of this psalm, adoration that God does great things for his people, continues to do so, and will never cease to do so. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, O God of Israel, God of the Christians. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're reading in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to read the opening verses 1 to about 28 in Matthew chapter 15, 1 to 28, beginning at verse 1, Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor thy father and mother,' and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, 'It is a gift by whatsoever thou might be profited by me,' and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." The Lord is referring here to people who are giving their money to the church, to the temple, to religion, and not looking after their own family. And he says that is not true piety. It's the very opposite. It's a violation of God's commandment. And this is something very common, actually. It's not unusual for people to be very generous to the church and very stingy towards their own parents, for example. And that is a violation of biblical piety. "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draws near unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the multitude and said unto them, 'Hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.' Then answered Peter and said unto him, 'Declare unto this parable, this saying.' And Jesus said, 'Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man.' Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs.' And she said, 'True, Lord, yet the dogs,'" not the wild dogs, but the little pets in the house, the children's pet dogs, "the little dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came into this near into the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there." And so on. we'll leave the reading at that point. Psalm 91, we continue from verse 7 to verse 13, six stanzas. Psalm 91.